Now to a Bryant Park Project follow-up on the Gina Six. Last week, the last Gina Six member to be arraigned pleaded not guilty to charges of battery in connection with the beating of a white classmate 11 months ago. Like the others, he initially faced attempted murder charges, but the charges were reduced to aggravated second-degree battery during that November 7th arraignment. Now, a day later, lawyers for Michael Bell, the most well-known of the Gina Six, because he stood trial, filed a motion for the dismissal of charges against the client because it was in juvenile court on grounds of double jeopardy, because he did stand trial already. Now, that was dismissed. So who's paying for all this legal action is the question. Well, funds were raised on behalf of the six young men, yet the Chicago Tribune reported this week that at least $500,000 in Gina Six donations remain basically unaccounted for. Now, Bell's trial is underway, as lawyers say they haven't received a penny from some of the Gina Six legal funds. It's a blurred money trail, and it's being followed by Howard Witt, the Southwest Bureau Chief for the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Howard.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. Let's get to some of the basics. Who is questioning where the funds are right now, and why now?
Well, there's questions swirling in a couple of directions. First of all, the biggest questions were raised last week by a radio host named Michael Bazden. He's an African-American radio host of a syndicated radio show that's pretty popular. And he himself has been trying to raise money for the Gina Six. But last week he went on the air and started asking questions about a group called Color of Change. Color of Change is an internet-based civil rights group that raised the largest single amount for the Gina Six. They raised about $212,000. Anyway, it's peculiar why he would have started casting aspersions about that group and asking where's the money gone, and he said they were shady and a bunch of other things, because in fact Color of Change is the only group that's raised money on behalf of the Gina Six that's been completely transparent about what happened to that money. They've posted on their website images of all the canceled checks that they have written. They have paid out virtually all the funds that they've taken in to the attorneys for the six defendants, and they have proof of that, which they're happy to share, and they have shared on their website. So they've been completely transparent, whereas Michael Bazden, the guy who's been casting aspersions, he himself has been raising money, but his people won't reveal exactly how much they've raised or exactly how they've distributed it. So that's a peculiar case. Then there's another big pot of the money, estimated to be perhaps as much as $250,000, that resides in a bank account that's controlled by the six families themselves. That's money that was sent in checks to the families and to a Gina Six defense fund. They will not say how much exactly is in there or how they have spent it. They've said that their attorneys have advised them not to reveal that. But that simply has created the perception that possibly something's going fishy with that money. There's all kinds of rumors all over the internet that the parents have been driving fancy cars. There's no evidence of that, but that's the rumors. There's been pictures floating around of some of the Gina Six defendants posing like rap stars with money stuffed in their mouth. So there's this fog that's descended now over this, to the great chagrin of many of the civil rights groups that have raised money on their behalf, because the last thing they figure these defendants need is some kind of question mark hanging over the money.
Let's roll back and talk about a couple of these things individually. Michael Bazden, who we reached out to for comment, we did not get a response by the time we went to air this morning. How is he raising money, and why isn't he telling people how much he raised and where it's going?
It's a great question. I mean, there's two fundraisers that I know of that he did. The first he did was on the eve of the big march on September 20th, the march that attracted more than 20,000 people to Gina. The night before that, he held a fundraiser in Alexandria, which is the biggest town near to Gina in central Louisiana. He basically collected a bunch of cash and then, he says, distributed it to the families. But his assistants and folks will not say exactly how much they collected or exactly how they distributed it. He also did a book signing, or advertised a book signing as well, so it looks like he might have been selling some of his own books as well on the side at that event. Then he also had a big fundraiser over the weekend in which he was aiming to raise $1 million on behalf of not just the Gina Six, but he says he's trying to set up some new defense fund to help African-Americans in legal trouble across the country. But again, as far as I know, unless he might have started giving figures yesterday, I don't know, but up until when I wrote this story, over the weekend. He hadn't said how much he'd raised or how he exactly intended to distribute it. So he may yet do that, but so far that hasn't been the case.
And when I sent the email to him and to his people midday yesterday, I still hadn't received anything back. Of course, if we do, we will post it on our website. We're talking to Howard Witt, who is the Southwest Bureau Chief for the Chicago Tribune, about where is all the money that was donated to help pay for the legal bills of the Gina Six. Okay, so we talked about Michael Bates, and there's also the family fund you mentioned. Do we know how much is in the family fund, and what does that mean, a family fund?
Well, we don't exactly know how much is in there. The estimates of the folks who are close to the families range anywhere from $170,000 to $250,000. And this is a fund, if you recall, back when the Gina Six was really in the news in August and September leading up to the March, there were a lot of collections going on, including probably a lot of scam artists that we'll never know about who claim to be raising money on behalf of the Gina Six, but, you know, the money probably went into their pockets. But anyway, one of the major funds was Gina Six Defense Fund. So on the internet, it was on a website put up by the families, and it was a place where you could basically, a P.O. box where you could mail checks, and that went into this bank in Gina. But as I say, you know, that money, it may well be that that money is still sitting there and has not been spent. It could be that it's properly been paid out to the lawyers. The question is, nobody knows. Mm-hmm. And in the absence of actual transparency and disclosure about what's happened with that money, that's what's giving rise now to these nasty rumors. And it would seem that the best way to dispel that would be for those families to display that money and show the accounting for it in the same way that Color of Change has done, and that could pretty much just put this to rest. But
is there any reason, any law that this they need to disclose this money?
Any reason? No, I don't believe so that I know of. Particularly because right now the money simply resides in an account that's controlled by the families. They say they're going to set up an actual trustee account and appoint an independent trustee to disperse the money. And if they do that, perhaps there's other kind of state laws that would kick in. But right now,
it's about appearances, it seems like.
Right.
Is there any sort of overarching, if there are shenanigans, is there any sort of overarching group that monitors this kind of thing? Is there anybody to whom these people are accountable?
Not if it's not an official charity. If this were like a registered, 401c3 charity, then you're talking about some legal oversight that would probably fall to the Attorney General in Louisiana. But in this case, no, because we're talking about really stuff that's just done on a person-to-person basis. So other than, just personal integrity, there don't seem to be any laws that are involved here.
Howard Witt is the Southwest Bureau Chief for the Chicago Tribune. Thanks for sharing your reporting with us, Howard.
Sure.
Coming up on the Bryant Park Project, there was a photo, one of the more iconic photos from the war in Iraq, a guy that kind of started being called the Marlboro Marine because he was smoking a cigarette after fighting in Fallujah, and it was a very, very kind of moving picture. We're going to get the story of what happened to that guy and the fellow who took that picture after they both came back home.
And we're going to introduce you to a new band called the Pipettes. You have time to go Google that and find out what it means. Stay with us here at the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're back in about 60 seconds.